Welcome to the January 5th service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Our service today is led by our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, and the title of her sermon is Engaging Our Values. The podcast begins with a reading read by Worship Associate Jim Kern. A handout listing 48 personal values played a role in the service. It cannot be reproduced on our website for copyright reasons, but examples run from accountability and achievement to trust and vulnerability.
It's our reading. After all, talk is cheap. Like any value, empathy must be acted upon. I often challenge neighborhood leaders by asking them where they put their time, energy, and money. Those are the true tests of what we value. I'd tell them, regardless of what we like to tell ourselves, if we aren't willing to pay a price for our values, if we aren't willing to make some sacrifices in order to realize them, then we should ask ourselves whether we truly believe in them at all. By these standards, at least, it sometimes appears that Americans today value nothing so much as being rich, thin, young, famous, safe, and entertained. We say we value the legacy we leave to the next generation and then saddle that generation with mountains of debt. We say we believe in equal opportunity, but then stand idle while millions of American children languish in poverty. We insist that we value family, but then structure our economy and organize our lives so as to ensure that our families get less and less of our time. And yet, part of us knows better. We hang on to our values, even if they seem at times tarnished and worn. Even if, as a nation and in our own lives, we have betrayed them more often than we care to remember. What else is there to guide us? Those values are our inheritance. What makes us who we are as a people? And although we recognize that they are subject to challenge, can be poked and prodded and debunked and turned inside out by intellectuals and cultural critics, they have proven to be both surprisingly durable and surprisingly constant across classes and races and faiths and generations. We can make claims on their behalf so long as we understand that our values must be tested against fact and experience, so long as we recall that they demand deeds and not just words. To do otherwise would be to relinquish our best selves.
We hang on to our values, even if they seem at times tarnished and worn. Even if, as a nation and in our own lives, we have betrayed them more often than we care to remember. What else is there to guide us? Who wrote those words? Any guesses? We stumped them. Okay, these are the lines that we took out. When I worked as a community organizer in the 1980s, in Chicago, yeah, I've been listening to Michelle Obama's memoir. It's so great to hear her voice. But I didn't want you to hear his voice as Jim read those words, because I knew that would be a distraction for some of you. What else is there to guide us? Jim and I struggled to find a reading for today, which is part of the reason why there's no name next to the reading in your order of service. Kind of a lucky thing. But when I happened upon these words, they resonated. We do hang on to our values because they can guide us to be who and what we want to be. I found a quote on integrity and values by Roy Disney. He's the nephew of Walt. He said, "When your values are clear to you, making decisions becomes easier." When we know what is most important to us, what we value, it's like we have a stick against which to measure those difficult decisions in our lives. Now, when I found the quotation, though, I had to know what those values that we hang on to were. And I'm glad to report that they are not being rich, thin, young, famous, safe, and entertained. In his book, The Audacity of Hope, Barack Obama points to values as old as our nation, citing the opening words of the Declaration of Independence. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all people are created equal." He wrote, "men. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." We all know maybe we all don't. I remember learning it wasn't original happiness that we were all supposed to be able to pursue. Do you know what it was? Property. I like the way that the founders changed it. It's more complicated than it seems. Obama goes on to say that we value together, collectively, personal liberty and opportunity, including what he calls the subsidiary values that help us realize opportunity: self-reliance, self-improvement, risk-taking, drive, discipline, temperance, hard work, thrift, and personal responsibility. Along with, and sometimes in tension with, these personal, individual values, though, Obama asserts that we also share a set of communal values in family, community, patriotism, faith in something bigger than ourselves, and also the constellation of behaviors that express our mutual regard for one another: honesty, fairness, humility, kindness, courtesy, and compassion. These are values that can guide us, that we hold on to, which are certainly better than being rich, thin, young, famous, safe, and entertained. So, what do we value? As we begin a new year and a month considering what it means to be a people of integrity, we thought it might be a good idea to spend a little time thinking about what we value. Because one definition of integrity is the ability to live out our values in our day-to-day lives. Each month, we've been inviting people to try on one of the spiritual exercises in our Soul Matters small group ministry packets. Today, you received an insert in your order of service that explains how to do just one of them. And you can look at it now if you want. It's a list of values from which you are invited to choose your five core values. Just looking at the list is probably overwhelming. Yes? There's a lot of things there. First of all, how do you choose? I appreciate most of those qualities in others, if not in myself, and I strive to cultivate them. What makes five stand out from the rest? But then the rest of the exercise is to give the list to someone who knows you really well and ask them to choose which are your five core values. So it's not just the values that you think about, that you consider most important for yourself, but the ones you seem to be living out in your life. The values where you spend your time, your energy, your money. The values other people can see in you and your actions. So the other night, my husband and I tried to do the exercise, and we both had a really hard time with it. Jamie thought there were way too many values, and to choose only five was way too hard. But knowing that he would be checking off what he considered to be my core values, I started to think about the values in terms of what he might see in me and the way I live my life. And still, our selections didn't match up so well. I think we had two values in common on our list. Actually, 2 out of 48 is pretty darn good when you think of it. But the point of the exercise is not to get a 100% match, but to take the time to think about not just what we say we value, but how we are living into and up to our values. As our reading asks, if we aren't willing to pay a price for our values, if we aren't willing to make some sacrifices in order to realize them, then we should ask ourselves whether we really believe in them at all. I read a blog yesterday where a woman was on a first date, and her date kept saying how much he loved the out of doors and how much he loved camping and how much he valued the wilderness. And she said, "How long has it been since you went camping?" And he said, 20 years. She said there was not a second date. But he's not alone. As we live our lives day to day, doing what we have to do, sometimes the things that we value the most get the smallest amount of our attention and our time. That's why we have January. That's why we have a new year, to bring our attention back. I wonder what would happen if we sat down and analyzed just 1 week of our lives to see how we are spending our time, energy, and money. What would that tell us about how well we are living into our values? Or rather, what values we were actually living into? Perhaps a less daunting task would be to take a few moments at the end of the day to look back at how we spent our time and our energy and seeing what values we invested in. Take today. We're all here together, which means that we value this congregation for many and varied reasons. We value the opportunity to see one another, to listen to or create music, to say words of affirmation to one another, to pray or meditate, to think about things we might not think about on other days of the week. If you look on the list, you could probably tick off any number of values that are being reflected and nurtured by your being here today. And they could be different for each of us, and all correct. One reason for belonging to a spiritual community, for many of us, is because it helps us to live into our values. We come here because we share many of the same values. We know we'll be reminded what they are and how they can guide our lives. Being together reminds us who we most want to be, our best selves. But we can't do that by ourselves. That's the question Jim asked when we talked about the Time for All Ages story. If we can never do anything without being seen by someone, because we can always see ourselves, then why do we need a religious community to help us be our best selves? Because our values are aspirational. Because we are not perfect. Because it helps to have people who care about us to help us see when we are not living up to our values, to our best selves. That's why we have a covenant, isn't it? Because we have agreed to be with one another and to hold one another accountable The part we don't read each week spells it out very specifically. It says, we will listen to one another respectfully. Assume good intentions. Use the power of our words with care. Express gratitude. Honor our differences. Help one another and welcome all. We will communicate directly, honestly, and compassionately. When we hurt one another, we will forgive, make amends, and reconnect. We wouldn't need the covenant, the aspirations of how we might be together best, if we didn't realize that sometimes we don't meet those aspirations. Sometimes we don't listen as well or as respectfully as we might. Sometimes we question one another's intentions. Sometimes we use the power of our words carelessly. Sometimes we are not grateful. Sometimes we don't honor our differences, merely tolerating or outright rejecting those differences. Sometimes we don't communicate so well, talking about instead of to the people we're disagreeing with. Sometimes we hurt one another, intentionally or unintentionally, but have a difficult time recognizing that hurt or owning up to it, let alone making amends. Sometimes we hang on to the hurt and we can't forgive. Does that seem true to you? It is for me. Which is all to say that we are perfectly imperfect. We are human. But because we value community, this community, and each other, we have named the ways we want to be together so that we can grow into who we most want to be. The tricky part sometimes is letting each other know when we've let each other down with care and with love. A few weeks ago, I left a meeting feeling not so good about the way I had spoken to someone. I hadn't used the power of my words carefully. And I kept hearing a phrase in my head over and over again that if it had been spoken to me, I would have felt dismissed. And I wrestled with it in my head for a while, rationalizing that I was just moving the meeting along. But my words kept coming back to me until I sent a message to that person apologizing for the words I had chosen. It took me way, way too long to apologize. And as it turned out, they didn't even know what I was talking about. I did. I saw. That was hard enough to hold myself accountable to the covenant. Harder still is letting someone else know when they have not lived into our covenant. To say, ouch. That hurt me. Our covenant speaks to the way we want to be together, but our mission statement speaks more directly to what we value. We value, you can join me if you want to, inspiring spiritual and ethical growth. We value creating compassionate community. And we value transforming ourselves and the world through courageous love. We acknowledge, though, that while we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of our covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions. As our reading puts it, living our values demands deeds and not just words. Are we living our values? Think about the ways this congregation inspires spiritual and ethical growth, creates compassionate community, and transforms ourselves and the world through courageous love. If you're relatively new or brand new, this won't be very easy for you, so let's have some conversations. In a moment, what I'd like you to do is turn to one or two people next to you and just lift up some of the ways you think we're living into those values, inspiring spiritual and ethical growth, creating compassionate community, and transforming ourselves and the world through courageous love. What are we doing to live into those values? And if you're really brave, what could we be doing that we're not? And what are some of the slippery behaviors that we are doing that are against those values? All right? We're going to give you a few minutes. So turn to someone near you. You might have to get up and walk to somebody. How are we living into our values as a congregation? All right, so you've started your conversations. More over coffee. Does anybody have anything that came up in your conversation that you'd like to share out with the rest of the congregation?
Yes, this is on. One of the things that came to my mind when you asked about what are we not doing, mm-hmm. is that this place was a wonderful place of refuge for me and my husband, but only because we found it. What are we doing to make sure that the thousands of young people around here know we're here, especially those of color?
Thank you.
Yeah, Nancy wrote down on her tablet something that is kind of her mantra, but it also goes to the whole things that we decide every day when we're trying to do something here, and that is simply choose love over fear.
Thank you. Well, we couldn't remember what the three things were, so we talked about... because you know, it was like 60 seconds or so that we had to start talking after she said them, so they weren't written anywhere, we looked. But so we got into an interesting conversation about is something really of value if it's not a trait, if it's not something that we're actively doing? And the thing you said about, you know, thinness, richness, all that, you know, like maybe a person who seems to be doing all those things doesn't think of those as their values, but should we say to someone, well, if that's the thing you're doing all the time, maybe it is your value.
Okay.
I just want to say that Linda said a really good idea, which is about things that we could be doing, putting solar panels on the roof to live our values of environmental sustainability.
Thank you.
This made me think of Jonathan Haidt's moral foundations theory. So I did a quick check, and two of the six moral foundations are missing from this list, which are important to conservatives: authority and sanctity.
So that means that you all should be thinking of me as your authority. Yeah, that's going to happen.
So I think this is an important one that always rings true to me, is being able to have conversations and really bridge the gap between those that we don't necessarily see eye to eye with. And we're very strong in the way we feel, and others might not be, but still being able to have those conversations and see them as people we still love and open our hearts to, just because we're not necessarily on the same page. And I feel that's more important as we continually progress as a society. So that's something that I know I can work on to just not box myself in and live in a vacuum.
So talk to the man with the red turtleneck after the service.
Cassie and I were discussing the things that make life difficult to live up to your values. The society we live in structures the choices you make to such an extreme degree where there are so many values that we have or want to hold, but we're not allowed to because of the things that we have to do every day just to survive. Like a point that I had brought up was we're talking about single-use plastic is bad. And things like that are bad, but you don't get a choice to use them or not. When our society decided that child labor was bad, we didn't make it more expensive. We didn't tax the companies. We just said, no, you can't do that any longer. But the society we live in doesn't make those kinds of decisions any longer. It's all focused on profit, and you have to play that game or you have to live on the streets.
Okay, one more, Ellen, or we got two more?
I appreciate that we create space to, in worship and elsewhere, to practice gratitude. We say it from the pulpit, we say it in worship, we thank one another. That, for me, is a very important value, also missing from our list.
So what?
Gratitude.
Okay.
Or gratefulness.
Yeah. One.
Since our sister supportive church isn't participating in To Our House, I think some of us should come and interact with the homeless. That's what their role was, and they're not here now. And this is an opportunity to be with other people as humans.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, everyone. As we begin the new year, we'll be even more intentional about checking in with how UUC is living into its mission. The board has appointed 6 people to begin that process. Kim Feit, Jim Kern, Stephen Henninger, Frank Napolitano, Amy Pruden-Bakshi, and Polly Stimson. This strategic planning committee will be looking at and collecting all kinds of information about where we are and where we want to be as a congregation. So I hope you were listening really carefully. We've already started collecting information. They'll be counting on all of us to participate in the process, which I anticipate will be fun as well as fruitful. We have great potential as a congregation to live more fully into our values. Likewise, as individuals, the beginning of a new year gives us an opportunity to be more intentional in deciding what values we most want to live into. Take a look at the list on your insert. You'll notice that there's a few extra lines on the list in case there's a value that's missing, that's important to you. Later, you might try to pick your 5 core values and ask someone who knows you well to choose what they see as your 5 core values. But for now, find just one value on that list. If you don't have one, look on with someone else. Find one value that speaks to you most strongly at this moment. One that you'd like to explore and nurture in the year ahead. If the one that you value most is not there, write it down. Set an intention to live more fully into that value. And because talk is cheap and living into our values demands deeds, not just words, here's one way that you might engage with that value. Brené Brown has an exercise in her book, Dare to Lead, called Taking Values from BS to Behavior. Yes, I said that out loud. It's simple. You answer 3 questions. What are 3 behaviors that support your value? What are three slippery behaviors that are outside your value? And what's an example of a time when you were fully living into this value? Think of the ways you can embody the value you intend to live up to and into. How can you invest your time, energy, and money into that value? Think about the way you might be tested or tempted to not live into the value. Slippery behaviors that are outside the value. And perhaps most importantly, be encouraged and inspired by a time when you have already lived into that value. So we wanted to cement your value choice with a ritual, and I'm seeing that we're getting close to time. So this is what we're going to do. On this table are a bunch of rocks. And if I'd had the time and energy and the artistry, I would have taken something and written values on them that you could have picked up. So you could have chosen the rock that was yours. But then we talked about values not being etched in stone. So instead, they're just rocks. But what I invite you to do is to come forward and choose a rock that will be your touchstone for the year. Imbue it with the value you have chosen. Or if you are artistic, you could actually write it on it. And then carry it with you to remind you that that is the value you want to live into this year. And if in a month you change your mind, it's okay. Take a hand, an elbow, a shoulder. Connect in some way to a neighbor near you. And look around at the faces in this room. This is our community of love and care. Take whatever value you found this morning here in this community out into a hurting world. It needs us all. Amen, and blessed be.